Next, it's found in the next major section of the book, but I'm jumping ahead a little bit because of the occasion of it being the last Sunday of the year. And so instead of starting Hebrews 13, verse 1, which we could start at, there's a number of explanations on how a congregation ought to live, good New Year's resolution ideas, and we'll look at that in the next couple of weeks. But I'm jumping ahead to verse 8. And that is our text. I'll read that for you. You can look at that in a minute. And that is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Probably the most famous verse in all of the book of Hebrews, and certainly one of the top 10 or 20 verses in the whole Bible, in terms of ones that people are familiar with. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of what that means is recorded for us in Psalm 102. And so we will read the prayer of the Christian when he is afflicted and overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord, Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, Oh, my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, all of them will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word to us today. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is not a bad thing. This is a glorious blessing. Help us to understand it again, freshly, more clearly, more fully. Apply these truths directly into our life, to our hearts, to our faith today, that we might know how to serve you and live for you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, congregation, you'll find that white insert in the bulletin has the sermon outline on one side of it. Well, actually, just a blank space for writing sermon notes because of the busyness of the week and when the bulletin needed to be done. So I have an outline, and I will let you know where we are along the way, okay? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, John Calvin wrote that this is a very remarkable passage. It teaches us that there's no other way to truly be wise than if you fix all of your thoughts on Jesus alone. And he was right about that. This became very clear to me a couple of years ago when I was asked to deliver a public presentation of the Reformed faith at a community faith forum. After describing the Christian faith in some detail, there was a question and answer period, and somebody raised their hand and asked, but is this really a viable religion, a religion that can last anymore? Is it possible for people to actually become Reformed Christians in our current day and culture? Perhaps you've had that kind of question yourself. Perhaps you have struggled through that kind of thought and doubt. Do you know what the answer is? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is true is true. And it doesn't matter what country you live in, what month of the year, what year, it is true. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether it be you're working through in your head and thinking about the future of a congregation, or whether you're thinking about the future of the Christian religion as a whole in this world or in our country, or whether you're thinking about the future of your own marriage and the pain and struggles you're going through, perhaps silently, that no one else knows except the two of you, or whether you're working through the future of your own children or grandchildren and the pains and struggles you might have about that, or whether you're thinking about the future of your own career or your health. As you and I enter a new year, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a good thing. That is a comforting doctrine. We need that truth as a foundation for our souls. This is God's wisdom for us today. And there are at least four different things that I've traced out from the Scripture as a whole, and especially the verses around Hebrews 13:8, that we will look at as examples of this Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll tell you all of them now, and I don't expect you to be able to write them all down now, but I'll let you know when we're at one or the other. First thing we'll look at is that Jesus is the same because he is eternal God. Second thing, Jesus is the same in how he rules his church. Third thing, Jesus is the same in how he saves by grace. Fourth, last thing, Jesus is the same in how he hears our prayers and tears. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The first thing is, Jesus is the same because he is eternal God. Jesus is the same because he is the eternal God. This is why all the other things can happen. This is why we can bank on him, because of who he really is. Jesus knew who he was, unlike what so many so-called Bible scholars and experts, even at unbelieving seminaries, will teach. Jesus knew who he was. He wasn't a deranged lunatic. He knew who he was. He knew he was God. He said so in a number of different ways. He told the Jews in John 8, verse 58, he said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He's identifying himself there as I am. And the only person who ever said, "I am who I am," is Jehovah, the Lord, who met Moses in the burning bush. Jesus said, that was him. He was there. Before Abraham was, I am. We read from Psalm 102 of this same eternal Jehovah God who always exists, who has no beginning and no end and can take nations and people and change them like you take off one coat and put on another. But this God does not change. Now, when you read in the Psalms, it's just speaking about the Lord. But when you read in the book of Hebrews in the first chapter, you read those same verses from Psalm 102 are quoted and used about Jesus. That means that the Bible is telling us that Jesus is the Lord. That means, for example, that the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. Because they say Jesus is just a man. He is not the Lord. Jehovah is a different person than Jesus. A different God. But that is not at all what the Bible itself teaches us. We are Jesus witnesses. The true Jehovah's witnesses, true witnesses to the one who really is the Lord, is those who are witnesses to Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For example, as we read from Psalm 102, I referred to it earlier, verse 25 through 27, it says, of old you, speaking of Jehovah in Psalm 102, and now saying that's also Jesus in Hebrews, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. John 1 verse 1 tells us, and in the first chapter of John tells us that Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was there at creation, laying the foundation of the earth. All the things of this world will perish, but Jesus endures. He is the Lord. He is the same. Jesus is the same because He is the eternal God. It's who He is. As God, yesterday, today, and forever. Because of that, then we can read this Bible verse that says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that Bible verse doesn't show up where we expect. It doesn't show up in a place in the Bible that's telling us, here's who God is. Here's how you can describe the characteristics and qualities of the God of the Bible. There are some different places in the Bible that do that. Hebrews 13 is not one of them. And though we learn things about who God is in Hebrews 13, verse 8, that's not the main point of that verse. The main point of that verse is that now when you're getting all of these instructions as the author is finishing his sermon and saying, okay, now here's what you should do about all these great things you've learned. Here's how you should apply it in your personal life, in your congregational life, in your marriage, in your the way you handle money. Look at those first six and seven verses of Hebrews 13. That's what those things are about. And how you relate to other people in the church. It speaks about church leaders and church authorities even. In these normal activities of things that we do in this world, this is where we need this eternal truth of who God is. The Jesus who doesn't change. We're being told Jesus is not simply just a God, but He is a reliable God. He is our constant. He is one we can always count on. It is guaranteed. This constant Jesus is the one who abides with me. Change and decay in all around I see. But O Lord, Thou, who changest not, abide with me. That's what we sing. That hymn of Christ's people and abide with me. And that's what Hebrews 13:8 is saying. It's applying the eternal God to the real here and now life experiences of Christians. So the first thing we see is Jesus is the same because He's eternal God. Now we're going to see some helpfulness about that in terms of our life experiences applying in our life today. The second thing we see about this truth is that Jesus is the same in how He rules His church. Jesus is the same in how He rules His church. And here we have to look at Hebrews 13 and verse 8 and realize where it shows up in the chapter. Verse 7 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you,
whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, and so on. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where does that show up? As foundational truth for why we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do in verse 7, which says, remember our pastors and church leaders and follow their example of faith. And it tells us that, you know, you've had a lot of different pastors. It doesn't speak just about one. Remember the leaders. Leaders, pastors come and go. But Jesus Christ is always the same. And so for you, whether it is a Reverend Stubbe or a Reverend Riffert or a Reverend Vance or fill in the blank, whoever it is that you may remember the most, they come and they go. And what is valuable about them and their ministry is this thing that shows up in verse 8, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the gospel of Jesus that they taught us, that they testified to us, that they showed in their lives. That's what is constant. And that is why we can continue to go forward. Whatever their personalities, whatever their family situations, and that would include it, we wouldn't have to restrict it simply to pastors. It speaks of leaders who spoke the word of God, which wouldn't be the pastor certainly, but it would include elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers as well, perhaps, who have been involved in some way. Regardless of which ones and the number of them that God has used in our lives, these Christian leaders should be followed because not of how good they were, but because the faith that they had in the one who's worth following, Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This glorious fact is amazing because we're reminded that God has always decided to lead His church through people. That's always been His decision. In the Old Testament, He did it through people like Moses. He did it through prophets. He did it through priests and kings, each one in different ways. At the very beginning of our life, we realize that it's not just about me and Jesus. The only way I learn about Jesus is through mom and dad. And so we're given a whole commandment about honoring our father and mother. The way God relates to us is always through this authority structure. And of course, that authority structure can be abused, it can become authoritarian, but it doesn't have to be. In itself, it is holy and good, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so He says, remember those who have led and done well in teaching you. Remember them and follow their example, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This has been a theme throughout this whole book of Hebrews. For if you go back, you see that Jesus is what makes all the things in the Bible so good. And Jesus takes all that super and it becomes even more super in Him because He is superior. We're told in the very beginning that Jesus is ascended. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. Right now He is the Lord on high. And so we're supposed to worship Him. He is presented in the first chapter as the one who is better than the angels. After that, we are told He is better than Moses. What was wrong with the angels? Nothing. What was wrong with Moses? Nothing in himself. He is better than Aaron, the high priest, the very first high priest. Jesus is better than him. He's better than the temple. What was wrong with the temple? God commanded Israel to build it in such and such a way. But Jesus is even better than that. He's better than the sacrifices. He's better than the entire Old Covenant. What was good about those Old Covenant people, those mediators, those prophets and realities and so on, is that Jesus has fulfilled them and moved things forward and made them better. Our Emmanuel has come. Now in human flesh, Jesus has come and accomplished those commandments that Adam failed to do. Jesus has done them. And so he rules his church. He's qualified to do that. And he says he still intends to rule his church through using his servants here on earth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we'll look at more about what that means when we get to those passages that are coming later in Hebrews 13. But we should note where this verse 8 comes. That's the second thing. Jesus is the same in how he rules his church. The third truth we see is that Jesus is the same in how he saves. Jesus is the same in how he saves by grace. We would expect this, of course, that Jesus always has saved his people by grace, and nothing will change there. Verse 9, again, of our Hebrews 13, verse 8, we looked at kind of the verse before it, but look at the verse after it. We see we're told, don't be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it's good that the heart is established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. You see, there were people who wanted to say if you ate certain kinds of foods and offer certain kinds of foods in a certain way according to certain Jewish traditions or other religions around the Jews there and their traditions, then you'd get right with God. And the author here is saying, those things do not profit you. Your heart, your faith, your hope is established by God's grace. That's the only way. It's established by grace. Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever, that he saves us by grace. You and I are not going to be destroyed because we are saved by grace. If you and I were saved by our own willpower, if we were saved by the number of New Year's resolutions that we have kept, what would happen? We would be damned to eternal destruction. That's what would happen. But because we're not saved that way, we are saved by grace. Malachi puts it this way in a similar passage to Hebrews 13, verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. It is because God does not change that we are not judged. Because, you see, God has made his special covenant with his special people. He's made his promises. He's volunteered to bind himself to us. He didn't have to, but he decided to elect us and call us into his kingdom and to promise that we would be his people forever, no matter what. And when Adam fell into sin, and when King David fell into sin, and Abraham and you and I and all the rest, as we fall into sin, it doesn't matter. God still will make it right. He sends his only son as a sacrifice. He can't break his promise. If he has chosen to save you, he will save you. Because it's by his grace, not by your willpower or mine. It's by his grace. All of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has promised to save you in Christ, and that's why his promise comes true. So don't be carried about by false doctrines, by those who would say that, okay, great, you learned about Jesus, but now let's add something more. You're going to really become a super spiritual Christian now. Let's move on to the next level. Don't be fooled by those who say that God has changed his way of how to rescue his people. He is still saving his people by grace. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Sadly, there are so many churches you can go to today who will not teach that. Don't be fooled by that. There's no Christianity 2.0, and then 3.0, and 4.0, and so on. There's no Christianity that was fine and good for Abraham and Moses and all those who lived and died in faith way back and described in Hebrews 11, that chapter we all love, the Hall of Faith. But now we've been enlightened on how to live for God in a different way. There's no version of Christianity that was good for those Reformed and Presbyterian forefathers in the days of Martin Luther and John Calvin. But now, the truths of the gospel have moved forward, and the enemy we face is different. The problem isn't people who try to replace the work of Christ with their own good works and religious traditions and activities. Don't believe those lies. The problem is the same. There is no Christianity that we no longer need in 2013. It was good in 2012, but we've got to move forward in 2013. You know, marriage has to be redefined. Abortion's okay. We can celebrate the fact that 40 years it's been okay. That's good, isn't it? Of course not. It's terrible. But people will say that. Pulpits preach that. There are organizations of churches who preach that, that we could belong to, but we never would. There's no version of Christianity that wasn't around in 1912 or 1812 that isn't just as true today. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The future of this congregation is to be consistent with the truth of God that we've believed in the past. Because Jesus hasn't changed. True faith is still true faith. A sure knowledge whereby I hold for true all that God has revealed in His Word, which is done being written. A long time ago it was done being written. And a hearty trust where not only for others but for me also I believe all those blessings of God, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation, they're freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ and His benefits and His merits. Of course, there's room for us to grow spiritually, but that's us, not Bible truth. We are growing to become more like what's already recorded in the eternal Word of God. We are becoming more like what is already revealed to us in the Scripture. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the challenge of this verse. That it's not just a nice little verse to put on the top of a calendar. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's a challenge for us to believe Jesus really is the same. There isn't something new and great, the greatest and latest coming along in Christianity. The fourth thing we learn about Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever is that Jesus is the same in how He hears our prayers and tears. Jesus is the same in how He hears our prayers and tears. The psalmist knew personally what it was to rejoice in the power of Jesus, the Lord, to hear Him when he prayed, even though he was in a time of great suffering and trial. Physical pain, his health had slipped away. As you read that psalm, you see it being described, groaning in his body. And he knows what it is. We read from Psalm 102 at verse 17, "He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Think about that. There are people who aren't born yet. There are people who God has not created yet. And when they come, Jesus will be there. The same Jesus we worship today. Same Jesus our great-grandparents worshipped. Same Jesus John Calvin and Martin Luther worshipped. Same Jesus Abraham and Moses worshipped. And to that generation yet to come, there will be people there to worship this same Jesus. Because that's the kind of God that is. He is the same, and He makes certain that He always has a people to worship Him. He is that kind of glorious, faithful, unchanging, constant God. These themes are picked up again and again throughout the course of the book of Hebrews, where we meet Jesus as the one who hears our prayers so we can cry to Him whatever we're going through. He is described as the great high priest, the Christ. In Hebrews 7, for example, Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, says it as clearly as anywhere. "But Jesus, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus is always living to make intercession for you and I. So when we pray tomorrow night or any time, He's there to hear our prayers. For the original audience who heard this, think about that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today meant something like this for them. Jesus had just recently brought victory to His disciples. But presently, they were getting thrown into the lions under the evil Emperor Nero, into the gladiators. And yet they're being told the same Jesus who taught His disciples by the seashore, who rose from the grave and ascended into heaven in glory and sent His Holy Spirit down on Pentecost, and the apostles went forth and the gospel spread like wildfire, thousands upon thousands being saved in one day. This same God is going to be with you when there's a knock at the door, or when the door comes slamming down and the emperor's soldiers and thugs come in to drag you off. It's the same God who'll be with you if that happens too. And so whatever we face and whatever day we're in, we're reminded that the same God is with us today. He's not gone tomorrow. He is faithful. And so we read in Hebrews 10, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." We read about Sarah, Abraham's wife, believing something that's impossible, that she, a very old woman, could have a child. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." God's faithful to keep His promise. That's what Sarah believed. She believed Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Without the certainty of who Jesus really is, you couldn't even enjoy food from the refrigerator. I know, because I tried last night. I went to the cupboard to get something I was really looking forward to, hadn't had in a while, pulled it out, I started to make it, and I just happened to look. I was not at all thinking about this sermon. I happened to look, and it was expired. It was my fault, and I let that go in the back of the cupboard too long. I had to throw it out. So I opened the refrigerator, get some juice. And now I was clued in to the expiration date idea, so I looked at the expiration date on the top of the juice and said, December. I thought, oh, well, it's December. Of course, it's kind of late December, and the expiration date was kind of early December. And so I couldn't use that either. Now, I could have ignored those expiration dates, but you see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means also the world in which He was created works in a certain way. And this food that was really, truly good yesterday or last week or the week before is poison for me tomorrow and maybe even today. And I better not do it. Well, how thankful we are that Jesus doesn't turn sour, doesn't have an expiration date. He's always fresh. He describes Himself as the source of living water. He says, you drink any other kind of water, what happens? You get thirsty again. Your favorite foods and beverages that we've been enjoying, you have one drink, and after a while, you need another and another. Now with Jesus, one taste and you have it all. Faith in Him forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the Jesus we serve. Let's get real personal for a minute. The last time we gathered in worship, it may have felt like a long time ago because it's been a crazy week for all of us, but it was just a few days ago. And a few days ago, nobody was in the hospital. Since the last time we worshiped, we've had a church member's family member die, and we've had three people in the hospital. That's a lot of different things in a few short days. We never know how many tomorrows will be left for us. And we don't know what any of those tomorrows will bring. But we do know the one who knows what those tomorrows will bring. Jesus. And He's the same. He's the same tomorrow as He is today. And that's why we can worship Him. He's the same because He's eternal God. That was the first thing we looked at. He's the same because He rules His church the same way today as He always has. He's the same in how He always saves by grace. And He's the same in that He always hears our prayers in tears and comes to our rescue. We don't know what tomorrow will happen tomorrow. But we can enter tomorrow because Jesus is already there, our good shepherd, leading us forward. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father in heaven, how we thank You. We thank You for Your eternal unchangeableness, Your constancy, the hope and courage we have to fight the good fight of faith and to leave You to bring the results in Your way and in Your timing. Bless us with deepened faith and trust in You, and be with those who are going through many seasons of tears and sadness and pain and difficulty. We cry out to You on their behalf. We pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll turn now to hymn 5.